are for the Feast of Trumpets. And what a day this is, and what a way the world is. Now, we know that all the holy days are listed in Leviticus 23, and that's just like a seed, as I've said so many times. Now, when you come to Leviticus 23 and read about the Feast of Trumpets, you don't know very much about it from just reading there in Leviticus 23, because this is a starting point for a lot of things in the Scripture which have to do with the end times. Now, there can be some minor fulfillments along the way down through time from that time to this, which there has been. So let's pick it up here in verse 23. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now this is what's important. I've been emphasizing because some people, it's like an email I got from a man who wanted to have a discussion about how much truth there was with Catholicism and what we teach, and we should start on the grounds of where we agree. Sound familiar? So he sent me one that had to do with resurrection on Sunday. That was the last one. So just let him know, please. And don't send any more emails. See, what I should have done was send him back about the command for the Feast of Trumpets and say, okay, tell me what this means. But I didn't. Okay. This is the word of God to us. See? And always remember when you're studying the word of God, remember this very important thing. Every scripture is God-breathed. See? As we covered yesterday, or Sabbath rather, it seemed like yesterday. Okay. Why did God put in there about the course of Abijah concerning Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist? Because that tells us something, but if you don't know about the calculated Hebrew calendar, and you don't know how the temple was set up, and you don't know how the priests were set up in courses, it means nothing to you. Likewise, with the Feast of Trumpets, you read this, and it says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first month of the day, we've already missed that, that's July 1st, huh? Oh, wrong calendar. Okay. That is today. First day of the seventh month, as we covered concerning the calendar. Okay. You shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of ram's horns, a holy convocation. Now, what does that mean? Doesn't tell us a thing about it here. See? You shall do no servile work therein. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And, of course, all the Levitical priest offerings were listed there in Numbers 28 and 29. But for us today, since we don't have an altar on earth and we don't offer animals, we are to bring according to the blessing that God has given us. And so every holy day we take up an offering. So at this time we'll take a little pause and we will take up the offering. Now, the Feast of Trumpets is really a tremendous example of line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, and you put it all together, as Paul says, rightly dividing the word of God. Okay? Now, there is one scripture that is really quite a fantastic scripture, Psalm 119 and verse 18. And it says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Well, the whole Bible is the law of God, the Word of God. So we're going to look at some of those wondrous things today and how they, the meaning of it and how it fits in with the Feast of Trumpets. Now, late last night, or early this morning, I woke up, couldn't go to sleep. So I decided to go watch the news. So I turned on CNN International. And it was a tremendous preparation for today. Okay? Let's come to Romans 8 chapter, and I'll tell you why. Romans 8. Because we are here for a great purpose, and we are here to prepare for the greatest thing that's going to happen to the earth. And we are here to bring about what this world needs but cannot have. See, that's why we have the sequence of the holy days, the Passover. You have to start so you can have right relationship with God. So you need the sacrifice of Christ, Passover. Then you need to change your behavior through the power of God's Holy Spirit, unleavened bread. You also need a resurrected living Christ at the right hand of God, the first day counting to Pentecost. And Pentecost shows the harvest of God for the church. And what we're going to do. Why has God done it this way? Why has God called just a few people? Well, few are willing to believe God and obey him. And even some within the church have problems with that. Okay? So that shows you the strength of independent free moral agency. But as I was watching the television, I was reminded of Romans 8. So let's pick it up here in verse 18. Okay? For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And you sit there and you think, what are we as human beings? I mean, we can see great pictures of the universe and trillions of galaxies and all of that sort of thing. And then you think about us, we started out from a speck of dust and we have trillions of cells. And those are all operating all the time, you know. If man thinks he's important, then he needs to consider. He exists because of the creation of God, the spirit of man, and then everything that he has put in our bodies. Now remember this for those who say the law has been done away. You tell them, all right, quit breathing, stop your heart, quit thinking. Now what do you have? See? We're all subject to law, correct? Everything in our bodies is subject to law. You take your temperature, how much? You take your heartbeat, how much? You take your blood pressure, how much? Okay? And if everything is not within a certain realm of working, you're either sick, dying, or dead. So why has God called us? Here we are. Now, I know all of you important people have your business cards out there. Pass them to the center, would you please? Here's why. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation itself, the whole creation, is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Now think about that. How important are the people of God to this world? We're going to assist Christ in bringing what it cannot achieve. And I was watching, it showed South Africa. I didn't know that they made a lot of war implements down there in South Africa. But There's war in Nigeria. There's war in Malawi. There's war in Zimbabwe. There is war in Darfur. There's war in South Egypt. There's war in Libya. There's war in Yemen, Iraq, Iran, Syria. And then look at the refugee problem in Europe. And everybody's talking about climate change. Well, climate change is because of the sins of human beings. And God is going to send Christ to rescue us. Okay? Man can never do it. But he's done it in such a way that the world, even though they have the Bible, which would tell them, they either don't read it or don't understand it. Okay? Now, let's come to Isaiah 41. And when you read some of these scriptures, you need to think about it. What is it that God has done and is doing? And how great a marvelous thing it was that Jesus Christ did to become a human being and be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. All right? Isaiah 41 and verse 4. Isaiah 41 and verse 4. Now, this can apply to everything that God does. Okay? Wonder what it was like planting all the animals. Wonder what it was like when it came time, all right, let's work out the final plans for eyes. Okay? Human eyes, animal eyes, fish eyes, bird eyes. How can an eagle way up there look down and see the prey and go, get it? Just that one thing. Take another one. How about when they were planning for hearts? Human hearts, ape hearts, elephant hearts, fish hearts, chicken hearts. You've eaten those, haven't you? Okay. Okay. What about down to a mouse heart? Those nasty little things come steal your food at night. Okay. And currently we're having a rat and mouse infestation because they're digging up all the soil to put in a new subdivision just not too far from us, so they scurry out. But we get them with peanut butter. All right, side addition. Verse 4. Who has planned and done this? Well, think about it with every human being from the beginning of time down to now, and we have 7 billion plus. Okay? Calling forth the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, am the first and the last. I am He. God did it. Now, in Revelation, the first chapter, He says, I'm the first and the last twice. And the last part of Revelation, He says, I'm the first and the last. Now, this tells us everything in God's plan begins with God and ends with God, and He has a tremendous plan for His family. Okay? Now, if you would tell some of these politicians running for office, and there are a good number of them, some good, some bad, some indifferent, and some you don't know what they are, and tell them, you're waiting for us. You're waiting for us. They wouldn't know it. Now then, God has made His plan known. Let's come to the book of Daniel. Okay, and in a faithful version, that's not too far from book of Ezra. Daniel, the second chapter. Now, God has kept this secret and revealed it a bit at a time. Remember what the psalm says? The secret of God is with those who fear Him. And that means to love and obey Him, right? Okay? So how important are you really to God? so important that he has revealed to us his secret plan to solve the problems of the world, which the world cannot discover because they're not willing to believe and obey God. And yet God has so much love that in spite of all the turmoil, war, killing, death, and all of this sort of thing, he's going to bring them all back to life. Now that's an astounding thing, isn't it? I mean, think on that, see? All right, Daniel, the second chapter. You know the story of the image? You know the account there? It starts out with Nebuchadnezzar. Why did God start with Daniel revealing many of these things in the prophecies? Because we have a known point in history. You go back earlier than this, and some of the dates are hard to figure and hard to find. But with the Babylonian Empire and Nebuchadnezzar, you can coordinate all the histories and the different empires and so forth. So he begins the end time revelation here, which is 2600 years ago. All right? Now, let's pick it up here in verse 44. Head of gold, chest of silver, legs of and brass, and then iron and clay. Now, verse 44 says, in the days of these kings, the ten toes. See, this is why we have to be alert to what is happening in the world, because many misinterpretations can take place, because we're going to see there is one major event that has to happen in the world before the end comes. And you have to really keep that in mind. Okay? This is part of it. The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Because you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God is made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. And then King Nebuchadnezzar fell down and worshipped Daniel. Now verse 47, the king said to Daniel, it is true that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret. Because he had this dream. He told all of the astrologers and experts and dream analyzers to come in and tell him the dream and the interpretation. They couldn't do it, but Daniel did. All right? Now then, Nebuchadnezzar was never converted, but he had quite an experience, as you read in Daniel, the fourth chapter. And this is one every politician, king, and leader in the world ought to read. Daniel 4, we're just going to read the first verse. Maybe two. Nebuchadnezzar the king. This is the epistle of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Huh? You ever thought of that? Okay. To all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth. So God intended this as a lesson for every leader, king and politician. Okay? So what was it? When he got lifted up in his vanity and said, oh, how great I am. Look what I've done. Look what I've built. This great city, Babylon. Bang. God knocked him down for 7 years. He was just like an animal out there eating grass. I hope he had good grass. Okay? After 7 years, he gave him back his sanity again. Okay? Now, Book of Daniel also does something very important. Let's come to Daniel, the 7th chapter. Let's see, this is another rendition of Daniel 2. Remember, it starts out with Nebuchadnezzar and comes to the setting up of the kingdom of God. So that prophecy has been being fulfilled from that time, and we're still living in the time of it being fulfilled. Okay? Likewise, chapter 7. Here we have the four major empires in Daniel 7. Then we have the seven heads and ten horns. So now it expands out to with a little more understanding. Now, if you want to understand that, we have a chart in the back of the Bible, along with the chronologies. But let's see where this ends. Okay? Let's come down here to verse 21, Daniel 7. Let's see where it ends, because what we want to do is see where these prophecies end, because they all have to do with us in the end time. All right? I watched, and the same horn made war with the saints and overcame them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Judgment. We are going to rule the world. Now that's going to make all those politicians think of that, see. But we'll be spirit beings. Going to be a vast difference, see. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from the other kingdoms, devour the whole earth, and shall trample it and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of his kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after him, shall be different from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. All right, now notice how important this is. And he shall speak words against the Most High. And how is he going to do that? And shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the set times and the laws. Question. What are the set times? The appointed times of God, correct? Sabbath, Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets. Okay? Now, let's look at number 4 again here for just a minute. On the fourth day, the appointed times were set. Okay? Jesus began his ministry on the fourth day. He ended his ministry with his death on the fourth day of the week. Okay? Then 4 days later, he ascended into heaven. Right? Okay? Now, when you count just the holy days, not Passover, you have 2 for unleavened bread, Pentecost, which is number 4? Trumpets! Amazing how those things come through, right? Okay? All right. Verse 26. But the judgment shall sit, and his dominion shall be taken away, and to be consumed and to be destroyed. And notice verse 27. Now this is why we need to really stay close to God and really, you know, do the things we know we need to do, because the goal is so great. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all kingdoms shall serve and obey him. Wow. That's something. All right. Daniel chapter 8. You go through Daniel. Every single one of these prophecies end in the coming of Christ and the end of the age. Think of that. Daniel, the 8th chapter. And let's pick it up here in verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when transgressors have come to the full, what is that going to be like? I mean, you look at the world today and then all of the crime and all of the sin and everything that's taking place. What does it mean to come to the full? And we have to live in that time? We better be strong in the Lord, right? Without a doubt. Okay. When transgressors have come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. That is directly possessed by Satan the devil. Okay. Now we've had some come close to it. Look at just in our lifetime, we've had Hitler, we've had Mussolini. Well, Mussolini was just a sidekick compared to Hitler. And then we have Stalin, Mao Tse-tung, okay? Since then, we've had Hillary and... sorry about that. Didn't mean to offend you. You know, don't send your execution squad to me. Okay. And his power shall be mighty. Why? We'll see that in a little bit. But not by his own power, and he shall destroy marvelously, and shall prosper and do his will and destroy the mighty and holy people. That is the end time martyrdom of the saints. Now, how is he going to have the power? Let's look at it for just a minute. Okay? How many remember reading in a magazine put out by a church that said the beast was such and such a man? Remember that? It was a German or Austrian. And that the 10 kings are going to be 5 in West Europe and 5 in East Europe. No. No. Okay? Didn't happen. What is going to happen? You look at Europe right now. Europe is about ready to disintegrate as a civilization because of the influx of all of the ones from the Middle East. What's going to happen? Will they all be sent back? All right. We have to think on that. We don't know. Okay? But that would be a miraculous thing indeed. What power will he have? Okay? So we need to keep our eyes on this. In Switzerland, there is the Hadrian Collider. And they are getting into particles of power that are going to be awesome indeed. How that's going to come about, we don't know. But let's come to the book of Revelation. Let's come to book of Revelation, chapter 13. Okay? So let's look at something. Revelation chapter 13. So we're going to come back and pick up more of the verses here in just a bit. Verse 1. I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his 10 horns and upon his heads were, crowns, 10 crowns, and upon the heads the name of blasphemy. This describes how the earth is going to be reconfigured governmentally by the world government that is coming. See? Verse 2. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, and his feet like the feet of a bear. Now, this is talking about the whole system. Then it comes down and talks about the man. Then we'll talk about the man in just a bit. and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Now, the dragon is Satan, the devil. That ties right in with what we read in Daniel, the 8th chapter, correct? Yes, indeed. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, but his deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast, and they worshiped the dragon who gave his authority to the beast. Now, this is going to be an astonishing thing that's going to take place. With all the trouble in the world, it's going to look like, well, yes, men finally are going to have it together. All right, let's come down here. Finish this verse. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast who has the power to make war against him? Now, how is that going to be accomplished? You could say, well, maybe they'll be given control of all nuclear weapons, possible. Or maybe they're going to find another super weapon through the Hadrian Collider that no one can make war. Now, if that's the case, and they're worshiping him, how are they going to view him? Let's come to 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. Now, when you talk about all the things that happen, you go through Matthew 24, you know, don't let anyone deceive you. There'll be wars and rumors of wars and persecution, and there will be the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. That has never happened. So there needs to be another temple built. See? Now, 2 Thessalonians, we've read quite a few times, but let's look at it for what it really, really says. Okay? Now, we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. That's the resurrection. That you not be quickly shaken in mind. Now, think, he wrote this in 52 A.D., all right? Nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us. Now, look at the things that he was fighting against. How many have heard the Gospel of Mary Magdalene? Okay? How many have heard that Jesus married Mary Magdalene? Okay? Talk about getting everything all confused. Little sidebar. Why could Jesus never marry any physical woman on earth? He was already married as the husband of Israel, correct? Yes. And marriage is binding until what? You die. So who died? All of Israel or Christ? See? Christ. All right? Now then, back here. Saying that the day of the Lord is present. And some false prophets have used that very phrase. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means, because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. Now, what is the total apostasy of all of mankind? We just read it, Revelation 13. The world worships the dragon and the beast. Total apostasy. Now, this also answers the question why God is having the Jews build a third temple. And they will build it. But it won't start until it's time. They are so blinded that they can't understand that the Mosque of Omar is sitting on a lot of big stones, each weighing many, many tons. When Jesus said of the temple and the temple area, there would not be one stone left upon another. So how blinded are the Jews? Completely. They come and pray at the Wailing Wall, and they're actually bowing to the Mosque of Omar. Think of that. And they don't know where the actual place to build the temple is, but it's right there under their nose. And when they find it, they will build it. Now, why build it? Because the Jews say, if they build the temple, the Messiah is coming. They're not looking for Jesus. They're looking for a physical Messiah. Now, how's that going to work out with the beast? We don't know yet, but it's going to work out. Okay? So let's read a little more here. Okay? Lest the apostasy shall come first. And we're getting closer and closer to the whole world worshiping Satan, right? And there's another part to it. The man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Daniel, the 8th chapter. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Now, this verse right here has never happened. So this tells us, for the end can come, has to be a temple built, world has to be organized under Satan's system, there has to come a great leader who will be proclaimed God. And to prove that he is God, he's going to go into the temple of God. What it tells us right here. Above all that is called God, or that it is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. And that's been the ultimate goal of Satan the devil from the beginning of his rebellion, has it not? Yes, indeed. And what does Revelation 13 tell us? The whole world's going to worship him. He's going to have great powers. Who's going to be able to make war against him? Everyone will say, finally we have peace. We're all worn out from war and killing and terrorist attacks and all of these things. And it will look like, for a short period of time, that the Bible shows is about 3.5 years, the 70th week of the 70-week prophecy of Daniel 9. Again, Daniel comes to the end. So what you do, go back and read the book of Daniel and see every one of these prophecies concerning what's going to happen in the world end at the end. Now, that's an amazing thing when you understand it. But it can't be understood without the book of Revelation. Okay? Now, if you don't have our series on Daniel and Revelation, we'll send it to you. So Ken's going to make up another whole batch of that. Okay. Proclaiming that he himself is God. Now then, how's this going to affect the Jews? Will they accept him as God in the flesh? If the whole world is deceived, yes, they will. Guess what's going to happen right about that time? God is going to intervene. How's he going to intervene? Two witnesses. Right, let's read on here. Okay, we'll finish this. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. Again, appointed times. Okay. For the mystery of lawlessness, which is the heart and core of Satan's way, is already working, only there is one who is restraining at the present time until he arises out of the midst. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, with that verse, I want to ask you a question. How could certain people, even within the Church of God, say that when the WCG was taken down with false doctrine, that the leader who became the replacement of the apostle was the man of sin, the son of perdition. Okay? Did Jesus come and destroy him with the brightness of his coming? No, he died of cancer 40 weeks after he proclaimed you don't have to keep the Sabbath. And he died on the Sabbath. See? So the hand of God still works, right? Yes, indeed. No, this has never happened. Now notice verse 9. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. And the difference between the world and looking for this, and for those of us who are preparing for the kingdom of God, is that we are learning to build the character of God first, love and hope and faith, and all of the things that we need to learn, see? Then when the resurrection takes place, and we have a spirit mind and a spirit body, wonder what that's going to be like. Wow. All right, let's go on. Now notice why. Now just put in your notes there, Revelation 12:9. Satan is deceiving the whole world because God is going to let him do it. For this cause, God will send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie, so that all may be judged who did not believe the truth. What is truth? Word of God, laws of God, commandments of God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Correct? Yes. They did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness. All right. Now then, let's come back here to Revelation 19. Not 19, 13 again. Okay. Now, something else is coming along, see? That's why you have to understand this prophecy flow and this prophecy flow. We have one on the nations coming together. We have secret weapons that will be made. We have the organizing of the world, okay? We have that. Now, what do we have coming? Coming, 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 coming. The second half of Revelation 13. Okay? So let's read it. Verse 11. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. Looks like the salvational religion of the world, but is straight from Satan the devil. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him. Rules the whole world. What is another thing to watch for? Combining of religions. Have you heard of Chrislam? Chrislam, rather. Chrislam, that's what it is. That's slop for the swine, no? Chrislam. That's it. They give Muslim prayers in the Vatican. Why should you be surprised? Eh? That was never Christian. I forgot to tell that guy who sent the email there. Okay. Now notice what he does. And he causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast as what? God, whose deadly wound was healed. Now question, I don't know. So, undoubtedly, the false prophet is going to be the Pope. Okay? Which one? When will he come? Don't know. How long will this one live? We don't know. Remember John Paul the First, how long did he last? 30 days. See? Anytime you're going to expose the finances of the Vatican, we have a funeral for you. Okay. So that tells you no one's going to clean it up. All right. So maybe it's the Pope. All right. And he lays hands on the beast who was wounded. Now, why will... No, I got to ring the bell here. Okay. Why will the beast receive a deadly wound, and it will be from what? Probably an assassin. Okay? And the Pope prays for him, lays hands on him, and he comes back to life. Boy, the whole world's going to go wild, right? Think of that. Very possible. So, we need to think about these things as they come along, but not get locked into saying that because we think about it, our thoughts become scripture. They don't. It just helps us look for what we need to look for. Okay? Now, he's going to prove his power because, verse 13, and he performs great wonders so that he even causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. Seeing is believing. Yes. And they'll have all of these scientists authenticate, yes, he really called fire down from heaven. Okay. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast, which had the wound by the sword, yet was alive. I think they're going to make images and T-shirts and watches and hats and jackets and who knows, maybe even socks today, you know. Who knows what they will do today. All right. Okay. Because... All right. Now, he's given power to the image of the beast that the image of the beast should speak. And it probably will appear real. Not done by digital components, but by the power of Satan. Okay? So that the image of the beast could speak, and he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. All true Christians will be some in a place of safety, some without their heads. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, and all refers back to the one whose image was made. Okay, he... rather, causes all, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's coming, isn't it? You ever gone to the store and they won't take cash? Day's coming. They don't even know how to count. See? Think about it. How many here have credit cards? Every one of us, okay? What if the company said, all your credit cards have been canceled? What's going to happen? Well, you can go down to this nice government store on the corner here, and we'll give you a nice little tattoo. They've advanced it from something on your big chip on your hand to a small chip inserted into your hand. Now they've got it down to a tattoo, which fits in with the Greek, because the Greek word there is epi, which is on, but in. Now, that's going to be something. Okay, there you go. Carbon nano.
Nano fibers.
And smaller. Yeah, you can't even see it. Okay. Well, I've gone on long enough, so let's go ahead and take a little break here. And... we'll come back.